The African Union's increased military presence in Somalia has recently succeeded in as many as a dozen communities once held by al-Shabaab, the al-Qaeda affiliate seeking to create an Islamic state in the Horn of Africa. Al-Shabaab's years-long Somalia insurgency has been funded by various enterprises, including massive exports of charcoal to the Middle East. In 2010, Andrea Crusta of the nonprofit Elephant Action League began hearing rumors of the group's well-organized ivory purchase and export operation. 2 years later, Crusta and an Israeli colleague, Nir Caldron, hired a translator and began a year-long inquiry centered in Nairobi.
We started this investigation mostly undercover. We met dozens and dozens of people, poachers, small traffickers, big traffickers, even ex-warlords, mostly connected to, the Somali society, both in Kenya and Somalia. And slowly built this very worrying puzzle. And we understood that al-Shabaab rightfully spotted a great opportunity.
Crusta slowly gained the confidence of many involved in the illicit trade and secretly recorded conversations about al-Shabaab's trafficking operations.
They understood, of course, that the price was rising and rising in Asia, the demand as well. So there was a great business opportunity, and they started to act as buyers, basically. Unlike other armed groups and terrorist groups in Africa involved with poaching, al-Shabaab does not really poach the elephant, kill the elephant. They act as buyers, as very good buyers, pay above the price, market price, and they are very punctual, they're very precise. So they, as buyers, they are liked. And slowly we understood that we were talking about between 1 and 3 tons of ivory getting into Somalia through al-Shabaab every month. So we were talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in profits every month.
As the African Union military mission to drive the militants out of Somalia gains momentum, al-Shabaab has demonstrated an ability to adapt. They buy ivory and rhino horns from Kenya and neighboring Central African countries. They ship the tusks from a variety of ports by skiff to Iranian, Korean, and Chinese ships anchored in the Indian Ocean. Some skiffs originate, Crusta says, from varying ports, including some in AU-controlled areas on the coast, and even in Kenya.
They just had to readjust themselves logistically. They still control a large part of Somalia countryside, and the traffic is still going on. They're using different ports, and they're using different exit points. But do not forget that al-Shabaab has a lot of power also in Kenya, and is connected to a lot of businessmen and traffickers who actually provide funds for al-Shabaab. So even ivory collected in Kenya and then leaving Kenya from the Mombasa port, for example, might be connected to al-Shabaab, meaning that some of the profits might go to al-Shabaab.
The League's report was published in the spring of 2013, but did not receive much attention until after the devastating al-Shabaab attack on the Westgate shopping mall in Nairobi last year. But Crusta had gained a wider perspective on problems created by poaching and on efforts to contain it.
Everybody's talking about, of course, elephants. You might talk about rangers dying sometimes, but actually the human toll is much, much wider. It's about rangers, it's about thousands of poachers losing their lives every year, leaving behind very, very large families with orphans and widows. And now you also have armed gangs and terrorist groups. It's not just about elephants. It's about thousands and thousands of people.
Crusta is also concerned about the larger economic and political tendencies that perpetuate poaching and the consequences for the communities that surround Africa's poorly protected game reserves. The puzzle Crusta talks about now is far more complex than who is killing Africa's elephants. While poachers may be viewed as predators, Crusta asks that the public look more closely at the Africans who kill these animals. The Elephant Action League wants to call attention to the widespread human devastation.
You have two different kind of poachers. Of course, you have the armed gang, you know, the very dangerous person, but you also have poor local people. One elephant with a nice pair of tusks is represents a few years of salary for someone that has no salary and maybe 10 people at home waiting for him. So you can imagine the temptation. So it's also about them. It's about widows. It's about orphans. It's about children that become child soldiers. It's about officers and judges getting bribed. It's about a weapon that is bought to kill an elephant and then is used to rob a bank. It's about a lot.
In Tanzania, where poachers have killed large numbers of elephants, an all-out anti-poaching crackdown called Operation Terminate last year resulted in a sharp reduction in elephant kills. But security units operating under a shoot-to-kill policy were also accused of killings, torture, and rape during the drive. President Jakaya Kikwete sacked four top ministers and asked foreign governments for advice on how to save the wildlife they depend on for much-needed tourism revenues. I'm William Eagle in Washington.